When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100 megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
And hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Veritek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
And what can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddy.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. Not really anymore. Episode 178, Brian Shackman, John Senecal. If you listen to the podcast, you know what we are. We love the Red Sox and the Yankees, and we love the rivalry, but we're about baseball in general and life in general. So John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. John, I mean, we'll talk about some, I guess, it's not really equal footing when it comes to the offseason. I mean, the Red Sox have done next to nothing, and what they've done, half of what they've done, it makes me vomit. So I don't know. I mean,
everybody loves Aroldis Chapman.
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, I mean, Matt Sarois, who produces our morning show, is a big Yankee fan, too, and he comes on the show all the time. You know, ever since Aroldis Chapman was with the Yankees, my statement was, I've said on this podcast a dozen times, like, the Yankees were never going to win a world championship with Aroldis Chapman as their closer. Now, I don't know if he's going to close for the Red Sox. He might just be a setup guy. But the bottom line is, losing follows this guy around, and yeah. I don't like him. It's not like, you know,
the
Pope's going to anoint him like, you know, an ambassador to somewhere. And
but he's a left-handed pitcher, and he can throw still, so he's going to have a job somewhere. He's relatively cheap given the closer market. But, I mean, as far as how things are going, it's the Yankees have finally pivoted from their loss, or some would say gain, from not having Juan
Soto. So Bellinger, Cody Bellinger, they acquired from the Cubs in a trade for next to nothing.
Next to nothing. The guy that they got from the Rays, who was non-tendered by the Rays the year before, a pitcher, 30 years old.
They basically flipped a guy who had no value in the market.
Yep, and they got $5 million total, 2.5 this year and 2.5 next year to spend towards Bellinger. So, I mean, it's not a bad deal for the Yankees. If you look at what the Yankees have done, they missed out on Soto, and Soto's getting, what, $51 million annual?
Something like that.
And then the Yankees wound up and got Max Fried, gave him the highest left-handed pitcher contract, 8 years, 218, and then they traded. Surprised everyone, came out of nowhere, snatched Devin Williams from the Dodgers, and then now getting Colin Bellinger. That's about $45 million in payroll this year for those three guys.
So, why would the Cubs get rid of Bellinger?
I think it's because they got Kyle Tucker, and they're going to be taking him on. And I don't. His contract isn't as much as Bellinger, but they're still trying to, I guess, cut costs. You know, and Bellinger's a free agent after this year, or he has a mutual option where he can exercise at like $25 million for the following year.
And so, and what does he cost?
What does he cost?
Bellinger, what is
27.5, I believe, okay. He's on the books for in 2025.
So you said essentially they got two players for the price of Soto, or three?
For Soto?
Yeah, they got
three, basically, yeah. Yep. Okay. And one of them is one of the best left-handed pitchers in baseball. So, I mean, if you look at it, and a lot of people are saying now, of course, Yankee fans are going to say that, you know, their Yankees are better off without Soto. But it's not just Yankee fans that are saying it. It's a lot of the baseball so-called experts that are saying the Yankees are better off in the long run without Soto. But time will tell on that. But, you know, you can't sit here and talk about Juan Soto anymore because he's gone. You got to talk about what you have. And so far, the Yankees have done a great job by filling a need with pitching, which wasn't even one of their huge needs, right? But they got it.
Right.
They got an awesome back end of the bullpen. devastating stuff, changeup pitcher. But he, again, he'll be a free agent after this year. And then they go out and get Bellinger, who's, you know, a proven player as long as he's healthy. Injuries have derailed him throughout his whole career.
Right. My question, the thing I don't get, I mean, Bellinger obviously had some great years with the Dodgers. I don't understand why, if they traded for next to nothing, why is it no other team wanted to take on his salary? Like, I don't understand why the Yankees get him. You know what I mean? Aren't there like a bunch of other teams that could have given a little something that could afford us? It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
You know,
like, why is there an inside job here? I mean, I just look at it on its face. It's like, why do the Yankees get to get Bellinger for a song?
Well, I think for one, there's a need, right?
Tons of teams could use him.
Well, yeah, but they're the Yankees. Like, just like the Red Sox should be players. Just like the Dodgers are always players. Just like the main teams are the players. That being said, he fits a need for the Yankees. So right away, there's that. He's potentially can be gone next year, but he doesn't have to leave because he can stay. And he already did that to the Cubs. He didn't leave. He exercised his player option for the Cubs. So they are on the hook no matter what. He could have walked away and went to test free agency. So Cody Bellinger is a little bit nervous too that, that he might not have enough value. So now he comes to the Yankees, hopefully boosts his value. Maybe he opts out, maybe he stays, right? But then what I'm saying is the Cubs don't want to stay on the hook for that. And maybe another team doesn't want to stay on the hook for a guaranteed $52 million towards him over the next 2 years, right? Right. But the Yankees can eat that. Okay. And he fits a need.
All right. So you feel like the Yankees have responded well to Soto. I would still argue it doesn't make them some sort of World Series favorite.
No, absolutely not. I mean, Well, let's put it this way. Considering they were the AL team that went to the World Series last year, I would say they are the World Series favorite because they were the last team to get there. That being said, they have glaring holes still. They're going to go with an outfield of Dominguez, I guess, in left, Bellinger in center, and Judge in right, which is great because it moves Judge back to a good position. He's not as much tear on his body, and he's excellent. The weird thing about this is Bellinger played a lot of games in his career at first base.
Yeah.
And he's a better percentage fielder at first base than he is as an outfielder. He's like a 995 percentage fielder at first base than an outfielder.
And there's nobody else to fill the outfield hole and put him there?
Well, I mean, there's Trent Grisham. Not right now. Someone that, because if you move Dominguez to center, you got to have a left fielder. So I would say Cody Bellinger is going to play obviously the majority in center field, but he's a good backup plan at first base given injuries, or if you can't find anybody, you need to pivot and get another outfielder like a Santander or in a trade or something like that.
But if the season started today, who'd be playing first for the New York Yankees?
I would play DJ LeMahieu if healthy, if not Ben Rice, which is the question, right? You got to fill first and you got to fill second or third for the Yankees, and you need a left-handed pitcher in the bullpen. They don't have a left-handed pitcher in the bullpen per se right now because Tim Hill is a free agent and he's out there. You know, a lot of people say, oh, go out and sign Tanner Scott and get the big names and Alex Bregman and trade for this guy. Remember, the Yankees are at $264 million right now on their payroll, which is like a 283 competitive balance tax. That's a lot of money they're paying. They're paying like a 50% hit on every dollar they spend right now. So they're going to severely
overpay.
So
they might not do much at all.
Right, which is kind of scary when you think about it, because you could go into a season with basically a no-name second baseman or like guys that have been on the team in the minors, like a Cabrera or a Peraza, you know, that kind of stuff. Or Ben Rice at first base. And now that kind of scares me because that's not a Yankees lineup and that's not a Yankee lineup that wins, right?
Yeah. Well, so, you're giving up a lot of production. He had some stretches, but Ben,
I would say if I'm a Yankees, I'm going to save some costs right now. I'm looking at a player like Carlos Santana to play first base. Switch hitter, coming off a gold glove, get him cheap on a one-year deal and then look for the next year. He posts, he plays, and he's solid.
John Senecal, Brian Shackman here. It is Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You know, when it comes to, just have to do something. When it comes to the Red Sox, and I think about Garrett Crochet, that's his name, right?
Yeah.
I think that guy is just so happy to get out of Chicago that a bad Boston team feels great because at least he knows he's going to play in front of fans and he's going to get seen. And he, you know, last year was his first year as a starter. I mean,
yeah.
You don't really know what he's going to be like.
Yeah, I don't believe he's thrown over like 110 innings total in a year, I don't think.
Well, he had 146 last
146?
Year. 146? Yeah.
Really? That's his most, obviously, then.
Yeah,
Before that, it was probably not around 100, right?
I mean, he hadn't started a game in the majors before last season.
Yeah.
So he had innings pitched as, he went 6, 54, 12 to 146. In terms of K to walk ratio is good. And I guess my point is he's 25. Like it's
2 years of control.
It's not bad, but the thing is it's also not going to do anything other than he'd be a good inning eater on a very average team. And then between that and Aroldis, I mean, the bottom line is that the Red Sox, in my opinion, are still a joke. So I don't know quite how to play.
So what do they need to do? The Red Sox are sitting at like $175 million on the competitive balance tax right now. So they have $60-something million. Without even having to worry. And they have the money to spend. So like if I look at the Red Sox team right now, you just got Garrett Crochet and you traded away, what, three of the top whatever 15 prospects you have. But you kept some very key prospects. The big prospect you gave up in that movie was Kyle Teal because he's a catcher.
Yeah.
And he's a left-handed catcher, so that's a big give. But you got a good pitcher who's, one, doesn't have the length of provenness, right? Doesn't have the length, hasn't been doing it for a long time. And two, you know, he's young. He's young with only 1 year. He's not proven, obviously. So what do you do as a Red Sox?
I don't know.
You go after Alex Bregman. That's what I would think.
Well, listen, we want to welcome into the podcast Mark Christopher. And if you don't know Mark Christopher, he's a legend in Connecticut radio as a traffic guy. Some people know as Mark the Shark.
Good morning, John.
And
good morning.
How are you?
The reason why I wanted to bring him in here is that he's a bigger Red Sox fan than I am. And he's a lifelong Sox fan. What was your first Red Sox memory?
Let's see. I'm going to go back.
Did you go to 75?
I was 11. My dad woke me up when Fisk hit the home run. He let me stay up late, but I couldn't make it. It was, 12:45 in the morning. My biggest early memory was 1973, August 1st, getaway game, Red Sox-Yankees at Fenway, driving up the Mass Pike, and I only went to one, maybe two games a year, pouring, so I'm totally bummed out. We get to Boston. For some reason, the sky's clear, beautiful day. We get up to the eighth inning. Munson runs over Fisk. Big
right.
brawl. They both get thrown out.
Billy got hurt in that one? Was that the one?
No. This was Munson running over Fisk at home plate. So the big brawl breaks out. So Bob Montgomery was the backup catcher.
Monty.
He was Fisk's backup catcher for many years. I think he was the last guy in baseball to wear a soft cap when he was batting. So anyways, he comes up, gets a base hit up the middle in the bottom of the ninth. Sox win 3-2. So fast forward 17, 18 years later, I'm in the television booth. I get to sit and watch a game, and Sean and Monty are doing the game. And I say to Monty, I'm at the game where Fisk and Munson, the big brawl at Fenway, you came up, hit a base hit up the middle to win the game. He puts his finger in my chest, goes, Sparky Lyle. He goes, I could always hit Sparky Lyle. He said, to this day, if I could face Sparky Lyle every day, I'd still be in the big leagues. And I couldn't believe he remembered the at-bat, but I was like, you got to be kidding
That's
me.
Awesome.
He remembered the at-bat.
Baseball players and golfers. They have always called.
Like when we had Fred Lynn on, yeah. Like a member in.
He's like a 2-2 pitch at Muzzy Field.
At Muzzy Field.
Yeah, I mean, like, it was incredible.
It is incredible. And Fred Lynn, speaking of Fred Lynn, wished me a very happy birthday for my recent 60th birthday.
What, somebody did a cameo?
Yeah, my wife got it.
How much
for
did
me.
It cost her? Do you know?
I don't think it was really all that much. I was surprised. It wasn't that much, really. But he looks like he could still play.
He's been on our podcast.
Dwight Evans still looks like he can play. Yeah.
And Fred Lynn's got, two new knees, right?
Yeah. And he can shoot a 76 on the golf course. I mean,
it's amazing about, like you said, about the hitting and how some certain hitters have certain pitchers. And it's amazing that you could excel at that level and walk into a game and be like, oh, this dude's pitching. I'm just going to rake.
Yeah.
There's nothing he can do about it. And I'm sure pitchers are the same way with hitters. They just know, like, I can get this guy out if I throw it right here every time.
It's weird. I mean, I honestly felt that way about Little League. I had this one kid, one of my good friends, Matt Gallo. Every time he pitched, I just took him deep, and it was one of those weird things. Just I don't know if it's you know him well because you grew up playing stickball with him. I don't know, like, but it's true. Like, there are certain things where it clicks, and other people. I had other pitchers where all my friends could hit him, and I couldn't touch him. You
couldn't
know,
touch him.
It was
all right. I got to admit something here. 12 years old, All Star Little League game, Marlborough, Connecticut. This young lady was smoking. She was striking us all out,
and you were 12. Was it Tatum O'Neal?
Might as well have been.
Who's Catfish Hunter?
And I just remember, being devastated because it was the night of the All-Star game. So I was so excited to go home and back. When you're young, you're excited about the All-Star game because the American League never played the National League.
But
it was exciting. Yeah. And I got home and I remember just being so bummed out, getting struck out by a female. But she struck out quite a few of us that night.
And that was the end of your career?
Pretty much. I mean, I played a little in high school, but I couldn't hit a baseball.
So the real reason, Mark Christopher here with John Tedekle, Brian Shackman. This is episode 178 of Fan Base, a deep dive in the greatest rivalry in sports. We were talking about the Red Sox, and I won't give you what my hot take was, but as it stands now in the offseason.
He hates Aroldis Chapman.
Well, I mean, I've never liked Aroldis Chapman, but what do you think? Like, how do you feel as a fan?
Well, I was at the game when Devers took him deep in the bottom of the top of the ninth at Yankee Stadium. It was a sunny ESPN game, and I was at that game. He hit the ball about 400 feet off of Chapman. It's about 103 mile per hour fastball. I hate that. I mean, I like the new starter they got from
Chicago.
But let's be honest here. They got a long ways to go here. I mean, they just don't have an infield really. I mean, when you think about it, the right side of the infield is up for grabs. I mean, Devers is a great hitter, but he's always going to be a defensive liability. Their outfield's pretty good, but there again, I mean, they can't compete with the pitching staff they have right now. No way.
And what do you do with Devers, though? Because, you know, there hasn't been any talk, according to Cora, about moving him to first base.
Right.
And then if you move him to first base, you would have to do something with Cassis because Yoshida needs to be your DH pretty much, right?
Wait, so, he can't play left field, Yoshida? No?
Really. I mean, yeah. I guess he could, but they really don't have that plan for him, right?
Right,
and,
yeah.
And you know, what are you going to do with Rafael? Because Story's coming back. Is he going to play short? Rafael would play center. I guess he could play second. He's versatile enough. But you got Duran, too, right? He's going to probably play left. So somebody's going to have to go in that mix,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that if Cassis lives up to his potential, and I think the way he is kind of like a weird guy, I think he needs to be in the field to stay engaged. So I don't like Cassis as a DH. I think Devers, he's like 1 year good, 1 year bad at third. I mean, is he a DH? I don't think he's a DH because I think he's got ADD too. Like, I don't know. I think you have to just take the bad and keep him there. I don't see him going anywhere else. I mean, I just don't.
But I feel like Alex Bregman is a good fit.
Oh, I agree.
Be an awesome fit.
I totally agree. That would be a great fit. He's a gamer, man. You want him on your team.
You
man.
Don't think he's past his
no,
prime?
No,
I like
so.
Him. I like him a
because
lot.
I believe you can probably get him on like a 6-year deal, I think, with the money the right way, or give him one of those like opt-out deals. Those are, you know, the popular opt-out.
But if you were him, like, they're not close to competing for a title. He probably wants to be on a good team.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised about that, Brian. Don't sell him short. You get a guy like Bregman, and you have a little bit of money to spend. You get a Tanner Scott in the back end of the bullpen, and some of your starters aren't that ridiculous when you think about if Crochet shows up. And the Red Sox weren't that far off last year.
No, I mean, so if we're talking if your peak expectation is to compete for a wild card, I think Bregman and another arm would probably get you in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't get you near the Orioles. Doesn't get you near the Yankees.
Oh, the Orioles are a complete joke right now. Let's not even talk about the Orioles. I mean, the Red Sox, as I look at them now, are better than the Orioles.
Well, I think they'll hit their way into 90 wins, but I don't know. I mean, you know more than I do. I just, their pitching is their problem, right?
Pitching is
And it's so weird because when they're in their great years, they just had the best pitching period back in the 70s. They had four guys that could win 20 games. You know.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do something way more than the Red Sox need to. They got a lot of money to spend, way more. You know, and they're not doing anything. Just
they could use
there.
Palmer and his BVDs or whatever.
He'll grab my BVDs.
Right about now. Hey, you talked about the 103 miler. We got to go here, but I wanted one more point. John sent me an article about baseball looking into all the injuries to pitchers and so on and so forth. And you talked about Chapman throwing 103 and still get taken yard. I mean, I think the money ball stuff is killing pitching because they want these guys to throw as hard as humanly possible. And if you look at the torque images of pitchers, like you look at the still frames, it's not of this earth.
No.
Your body's not meant to do this crap. And so they're just basically inviting people to get hurt. I mean, it's not really, you don't need a freaking summit to figure that out.
No.
No. You know, the thing with me is I think the biggest thing as a pitcher, you got to pitch ahead in the count. And, yeah, if you can throw 101 miles per hour and you can't find the strike zone, I think you're useless. I'd rather have a guy that's ahead in the count because he's got a way better chance of getting a guy out than if he's throwing behind.
What do you change? If you back up the mound, then they're just going to build up the body to be able to throw 100 from there. And then to hitters have
it's
too much
change
of an
in philosophy. It's a whole change in philosophy, and it's going to take time to do it because it's all been on max effort the last 15, 20 years. You know,
but what do you do? You can't legislate velocity.
No, you don't.
Out of the
it's
game.
Just the game has to regulate itself. It has to start right at the top. You know, like the teams have to not prioritize that, and they're not going to because they're getting the most out of these players now as young as they possibly can. If you're 26, 27 years old in Major League Baseball now, you're starting to become in the back end of your career. That's why it's crazy with these guys
not
with 30
with pitchers. You mean?
Oh, with pitchers
not
and even
yeah.
players.
No. No, right. With position players, well, they, I mean,
most good players are making it by 21, 22 in Major League Baseball. Right, but that gives you a 5-6 year window.
Yeah, but they're hanging on. The position players are hanging on later. I think that your point's an interesting one. If I was the parent of a talented baseball player, and they were too, like they were like Ohtani type, where it could hit and throw, I would encourage them not to pitch. I think that's what could be the thing. It's like eventually mommy and daddy aren't going to let little Johnny pitch, right, and they're not going to have pitching.
Yeah, but a lot of kids can't do it unless they pitch, right? A lot of them can't hit, so they specialize on pitching. When they're as young as 10, 11, 12 years old now. I mean, I've been seeing it for years watching my kids go through it. Their kids just don't do anything but pitch.
It's dumb. We got to go. Hey, nice job. It's your maiden voyage.
You know, the other thing, too, it was really interesting. I know you got to go. Montgomery and McDonough between the innings, they didn't talk an ounce of baseball. It was, Sean, how'd you hit 17 over at X&X Country Club? It was it was all golf.
McDonough.
He's awesome.
He is awesome.
He is awesome.
Mark Christopher, John Senecal, Brian Shackman, you've been listening to episode 178 of Fan Base, deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.